God is good, isn't he? Yeah. In so many different ways, he has showed us who he is. So last week we taught on the fifth sparrow, and all I could see was sparrows this week. How about you? Well, today I want to go over the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. I've been there before, but this is a little different take on it. Knowing the shepherd's voice and the voice of God. And there's two aspects of this, but I'll go through the text for you and give you my take on it. Jesus starts his monologue, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way," there's like always people trying to find a shortcut, "the same is a thief and a robber." They're not honest. What's the best way to go into a room? Through the front door. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, you and me, your child of God. He leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them." He doesn't push them out. "And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things he was speaking to them. Interesting, when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's really true. I have a relationship with my God that I can hear the voice of God. But in that time, Jesus was speaking to those who were following him and his disciples. There were those that did not know his voice, at least the way he wanted them to, Judas in particular. Think about it. Judas was one of the 12. So this isn't just a proclamation of who children of God should be, one who hears a voice, but it gives the responsibility to hearing and knowing the voice of God to you and me. It isn't just because he's there, it's because we practice to know he's there. And when we hear the enemy, we practice to know that that is not him. You know, the enemy comes and he brings fear. We talked about that, we sang about that this morning. No longer a slave to fear. But, you know, this morning the Lord showed me that, you know, the enemy is afraid of you and me. He's afraid of the children of God. And I said, really? The enemy is afraid? He has fear? And the Lord said to me, yeah, think about it. Who's the best one to be able to put fear on you and the children of God? The enemy. So how can he do that unless he knows fear himself and is afraid himself? And when you pray, he is afraid of your prayer, because the power of the Holy Spirit puts him in his place under the feet of Jesus. Yeah, that's good to know. Because I always have a vision and an understanding that the enemy is all-powerful in his own right, and he's so prideful that nothing can touch him. That's just not true. He can be touched, and he can be touched through the prayers of the saints. Come on. I'll be Tim this morning. Come on. Yeah, it is true. Jesus goes on to say he's the good shepherd. He says he's not just the shepherd of the sheep and they hear his voice, but he's the good shepherd. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." There's just no other way. "All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them." It's our responsibility to turn off our ears when we don't hear the Lord. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." You are saved. "It will go in and out and find pasture." Praise the Lord. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy." That's what the thief does. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. The people of God don't do that. His army doesn't do that. The enemy does. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. Not only that, that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. A good abundance. Not a meager abundance. Not one that just gets you by and say, I'm keeping up with the Joneses, but an abundance. Enemy does not want you to be abundant in your prayers. He doesn't want you to be abundant in your, especially your prayers. Let's go back to your prayers. When he comes against Helen, how does she battle him? Well, through her prayers. And she knows the saints are praying too. She knows the power of baptism, that he has resurrected her from the dead. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for a sheep. There's nothing he won't do for you. But a hireling, and we talked about that a little bit last Sunday, one who is the merchant, the one who's trying to make a deal, it is he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. There's an ownership involved in the Lord in our lives. It's not that we're just children of God. He owns us. He owns us because we know his voice and we practice knowing his voice. He owns us because we are completely devoted to him. It's not ownership by money and gold and silver. It's ownership by the very blood of Christ that has saved us from sin, that we might be able to fellowship with the Father God. Well, one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them. Who scatters the sheep? The enemy does. Who is the one that's involved in church splits and all the gossip and criticism? The enemy is. It's not you. It isn't a leader. It isn't a new charismatic person. It's the enemy who does these things. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows you. You know how I know that? During the outpouring of the Spirit, it was so clear to me that people were coming forward and we would pray for them. Teams of us would pray. I remember John standing with me one time and praying. We were praying for this one girl. And I thought, as I was praying for her and we were praying together for her, the Holy Spirit was moving. And you could just tell when the Holy Spirit is moving in a person. See, we're not praying for the Holy Spirit to come. We're praying for the Holy Spirit to move in us. And that's exactly what it was doing during the renewal. And the Spirit would come on so powerfully. Do you remember this? He'd come on so powerfully. Yeah, John, I remember that. I would be embarrassed because I would know that person more than she would think. All of her fears, all of the stuff that she was going through, I would personally, somehow, supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, know and understand and could prophesy to. There are a couple times I had to back away and say, I don't want to know someone to that degree. I don't want to get that close to people. And the Lord says, well, that's your job. Sorry. That's who I made you to be. So he calls every one of us to his side to be a shepherd with him. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not take care of or care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I know my own as the Father knows me. Going to be more close than that. Even so, I know the Father the same way. I laid down my life for the sheep and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. They will hear the voice of God. And they will be one flock and one shepherd. When the day comes, the people are really listening to the voice of God instead of their own hearts and the voice of the merchant and the hireling. You will see oneness in the body of Christ like you have never seen it before. Because they will know. There's a knowing involved. The Spirit will show everyone how foolish they have been in their rituals. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. That's why on the cross he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The enemy did not kill Jesus. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among them, among the Jews, because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon. He's crazy. He's mad. Why do you listen to him? And others were saying, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And we begin to see that there's an idea that's presented here that's contrary to some of the other scriptures we might know, that it's the character of Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. But there is also a hope and a witness of the works that God wants to do through his people. The works of kindness, as Vera mentioned this morning. Those works of kindness can manifest themselves in many different ways, but they can manifest themselves in miracles as we pray for one another, to be healed of cancers, to be healed of clots and all kinds of things that the enemy would like to have us suffer with. Jesus said to them, I told you and you don't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. Why didn't they believe that the miracles were from God? Because they were hirelings. They were the merchants. They were the ones that try to make a deal with God and with God's people. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them, what does he give them? He gives them eternal life, that they should never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And thus is born the eternal security. But you know what? I'd rather be on that side than any side. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And my Father and I, by the way, are one. So there's an idea that if you can hear the voice of God, if you can know God in this way, in this manner, and be in this fold, snatching you away is next to impossible. You might walk away, but being tricked is not a possibility. No disease, no fellowship, no ritual can snatch you away, because you will be in a place where you'll know and hear the voice of God. Now, we know the voice of God, don't you? When we're baptized in the Spirit, we get to know the voice of God in a real intimate way. But we hear the voice of God in different ways. I remember the disciples when they're watching, didn't have to be a disciple, just watching John baptize, and he was baptizing, suddenly he's baptizing this guy called Jesus. And this voice comes down out of heaven, and some described it as thunder. And, you know, can you imagine? I can't imagine it. I don't think Hollywood could do a good job with that one. No amount of magic things could be done. And remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Father spoke, it was different than when they saw the Lord transformed. It was different then. They said, let's build 3 temples. But when they heard the Father speak, they fell down, afraid. The voice of the Father is so powerful that men cannot stand before it. The voice of God. Well, when I heard the Holy Spirit for the first time in my heart, it wasn't like that. There was a kindness about it that was like the sheep, the good shepherd of the sheep. Good shepherd of the bad sheep. But now we're good. And he calls to them. He doesn't push them. He doesn't shove them around. So he doesn't say, come on, get in place. You, over there. He doesn't do that. You hear that voice, you should recognize it clearly as the enemy. The one who's pushing you around, the one who's making you fearful. If you're motivated by fear, it is not God. If you're motivated by fear, It's not God. Even to do good things, good works, which are really dead works if they're motivated by fear, are not good. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. We cannot do that unless we hear the voice of God. Well, let me skip to how we do that. I'm going down a little bit in my notes. We hear the voice of God, yes, when we pray. There's a prophetic sense, a prophetic voice that we hear. So we pray to God. Let me just give you an example. I pray to God, say, Lord, it's a tough day I had ahead of me. I had a lot of meetings, and I know the people there, some of them don't even like me. I don't know that I care for them that much. And there's a prophetic word that comes from heaven in my heart, and it says, don't be afraid of them. Would the enemy say that? I don't think so. Don't be afraid of them. I created you. I made you. I have equipped you. You haven't made yourself. Really? I put on this shirt. Big deal. I have equipped you, says the Lord. And that prophetic voice comes into you, and the Holy Spirit makes you the man and woman of God who he has ordained you to be in sickness and in health. It matters not through circumstances that you face. You are a child of God. Don't let anybody tell you differently. But we also know him through circumstances. Is that right? So we after most of the time is after the fact. We recognize, boy, that was God. You know, so we take a left-hand turn instead of a right-hand turn, and we avoided an accident, or we avoided a three-hour traffic jam, or whatever it might be. So that was the Lord. How are you being led? By circumstances. So that happens. Don't deny the fact that God can use circumstances. He certainly can. And he can use them supernaturally as well. We also know God and the voice of God when other people pray for us and prophesy. So we know that. Even an unbeliever can speak a word to us of encouragement, and the Lord himself will be in that voice. You know, in the Old Testament, it says an angel appeared before Gideon, and then in another verse, just a few later, it says the Lord said. How can that be? Because the Lord was speaking through that angel. And those who are writing the scripture understand that the voice of God can be manifested in such a way. Number three, so one circumstance, two people. Three, reading the word of God, the text, that which was given to us through the centuries as the Bible. What a wonderful thing that we have in the word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean anything. But in the Holy Spirit, it can bring life. And we remember the words of encouragement, strength, the words that warn us of evil and described the works of the enemy. And describe the works of God. And describe the works of the people of God. All things wonderful to know. And number four, hearing the prophetic voice. Thus saith the Lord. That can come in many different ways, as I've already said. Let's go back to the text. Well, Jesus answered these guys, and he says, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that nice? You're not going away. If nothing else, you can say that to the enemy. You're going away, but I ain't. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And only one is able to snatch them out. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says that last phrase, I and my Father are one. He doesn't say he's the Son of God, Son of Man, the anointed Messiah. He says, I and the Father are one. I am the Father. Well, if you were an Orthodox Jew, you know what you had to do. For anybody that blasphemes the Father in such a way must be killed. And they picked up stones. When I first read that, I said, it's no big deal, throwing stones. Just avoid them. Well, no, being stoned was an execution. So the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered and said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which one of these works do you stone me? So the enemy comes up in the guise of these people, their righteousness, their self-righteousness, and they're going to kill him. They're not just going to make him hurt. Stoning was an execution. And Jesus doesn't say, look at my character, look how kind I am. Listen to my voice. At that point, he points to his work. But you know, here's the thing. I believe that the works he's talking about isn't separate from his kindness. You will know them by their works. Doesn't mean that you know them by their fruit. Doesn't mean that the works are separated from the fruit. The fruit of love and joy, kindness and peace are annealed with, are linked together with the good works of healing, with the good work of bringing wholeness to the feeble-minded, to those who need to be delivered from demons. So he says, so for which one, for which good works are you going to kill me? And they say, well, it's not for the works, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. And Jesus says again in the two paragraphs down, says, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So these works and the works that you do as children of God are never to be separated from the character of Christ, that loving kindness that he talked about this morning. I'd like to see hear an amen about that. Is that good? Yeah, that's a good one. Well, what does Jesus do when he's confronted by men who wanted to kill him? Well, he escaped. That's number one. And I don't know how he did that. You know, guys get together and want to kill you with stones. They surround you, right? And I always think, well, what do I do when I'm in trouble? Jesus is in trouble, physically. They're going to kill him. It's not his time to be killed. So what does he do? What would you do? What would you do? I think what I would have done was called down fire from heaven. So that's it. Take that guy out. By the way, his name isn't even in the Book of Life, Father, so take him out. But you know, there's a lot of people that have come against the people of God today in this country and around the world. Their lives, you know, their names aren't written of God, written in the Book of Life. I don't know who they are, who they aren't, but the Holy Spirit does. And Jesus certainly knew he could have done that. But instead, he retreats. Because where he was in Jerusalem. Now, he's going to go up to where John was baptizing. In fact, that's what he says. He says, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to a place where John was baptizing at the first. So that's way up there, away from Jerusalem, away from these people that want to kill him. Because there's things that he still needs to do. So I thought about that. It says, there he stayed, and many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all these things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in his name there. So there's a work for us to do. The enemy isn't coming to you just so that you can retreat and fall back and never recuperate. But you can retreat and still the Spirit of the Lord be with you. You can retreat to a safe place. And that's the point that I wanted to make with this scripture, is that you don't retreat to a place that's more dangerous. You retreat to a safe place where the Lord himself and the Holy Spirit in you can work those miracles and the work of kindness that he has in your heart to do. We, the elders, and you guys in the home groups and this church and related together, that's what we have built here, a safe place in a state called New York, which is not a safe state. It's not. Not anymore. If you would believe the laws, thankfully, many people don't believe the laws are accurate or appropriate. Killing of born children. pills for those who are elderly and feeble. Not just pain pills, but ones that take you out. I don't know what's next. That's not sound like a safe place for me. If I had my way, I'd move to Iowa or someplace. I don't know. I used to think New Zealand was the place to go, but I don't know about that anymore. But the safe place is one we built, people of God, and our fellowship is a safe place. It isn't one of criticism where we point the finger at one another and say, boy, I know this person so well. I can tell you all of her faults and all of his faults to a T. Believe me, I know him. And the Holy Spirit would say, oh, it doesn't matter if you know those faults or not. I'm not concerned about those things. I'm more concerned about what I'm doing in their heart today to bring them into the character of Christ, which I have ordained for them to be in, to be like me. So from these scriptures so far, we can come to know this. One, that we know, and there's power in knowing the shepherd's voice, the voice of God. There's a contrast that the Lord makes between knowing the voice of a hireling and the voice of the Lord. And it's our responsibility to know that. It's not just God's voice that makes it happen, but it's our responsibility to be able to train ourselves to know and discern the voice of God versus all the other voices we're hearing, the cacophony of nonsense that we're constantly faced with every day. Through that, we have to negotiate and understand the voice of God. And there's no scripture that can help you with that. It's the Holy Spirit within you. Practice, practice, and practice. Number three, that Jesus isn't just a Messiah, just one who died on the cross so we could have fellowship with the Father, but he and the Father are one. One of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The idea of the Trinity is so powerful in the New Testament. It brings life to our bones. That God could love us enough to die, he himself die upon the cross, and to know pain and suffering like many of us have not known. The pain wasn't just in physical abuse, bodily abuse, but the pain was in betrayal of his best friends. The pain was betrayal of an entire nation, which the Lord ordained for them to come to himself. For the betrayal and the failure of that not to have happened was painful for him to see. He looked at Israel and says, oh, I would love to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks. There was something in that that he longed for that did not happen before on this side or the other side of the cross. But it's now happening today and in the future as he brings the people of Israel to himself. Number four, that his works speak of his relationship with the Father. That's what he kept saying. So if you don't believe it, believe the works. The works that you do will testify to the character that's in you, which will testify to your relationship that you have with God. It cannot not do that. Use a double negative. Is that a triple negative? And number five, there is a time to retreat to a safe place. And a safe place can be a place of mighty things to happen in the Lord, where God starts to rebuild the walls of the temple. God starts to build something in your heart that's able to stand against the schemes of the enemy, where now you can make him afraid of you. Let the fire in your eyes, the Holy Spirit, light him up. You want him to fire up his jets, go ahead. You have the power to do it. Make him run and flee from you. You walk into a bar. You walk into a situation where there's no peace, where there's no hope, and you arrive on the scene with maybe another brother or sister. And man, there is a prozone reaction going on around you. You know what a prozone reaction is? When you have a reaction in a laboratory, you have agglutination, precipitated, a change of color, all that. Well, a prozone reaction is so powerful that it just blows away any reaction at all. There's nobody can stand before it. A lot of false negatives in laboratory testing are prozone reactions. It's so positive that it's negative. You can't see it. It's just not going to work. The enemy has plans. He has all kinds of plans. But you arrive on the scene, there's a prozone reaction happening around you. He can't figure it out. I don't get it. He was supposed to be this. And don't play into his games. That's his biggest trick. His biggest trick is to beat you. Say, come on, don't you care about this person? Well, of course I do. But that's not the issue. I care more about God and their relationship with God. So how do we pray for the prodigal? Oh, God, bring him back, whatever it takes. It's not what he would like you to pray. Now here's the issue with the voice of God. All of us would like to have, well, we should like to have, of a clear understanding, and you're tuned in to the frequency of the voice of God. Never have a problem discerning God. Wouldn't that be nice? Mark Trugger said, yeah, amen. That'd be nice. I'd really like to know that. Just think. Walk in the stock market, find out which stocks are going up, which are going down. You know what? I don't think the Holy Spirit even cares about that. Well, I know he doesn't. Not really. Ways of men. He's more concerned about eternal life and the things that are happening in you that will prepare you for what he has ahead for you, not in this world only, but in the world to come. And here's the thing. James says this, I'm going to end with these scriptures. James says this in James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The problem we have is not hearing or not hearing the word of God, either one. But it's doing it when we do hear it. And as soon as we fall into that trap, we're doomed. We are deceivers ourselves. The enemy doesn't need to deceive us. We've already deceived ourselves. This is a hard work because it's not, you think, oh, that's easy. I'll just do what God wants me to do. It's not always easy. And sometimes God doesn't come with a giant sign saying, this is wrong. But there's a gut feeling in you by the Holy Spirit that he put there and says, this is just the wrong way. This is the wrong person. And yet, we do it. I was looking at advertising on the net. It's amazing how little many peekaboo things we see nowadays. In dress, photographs. And it's like, what are your eyes doing? I said, yeah, what is this? What if the guy who put there, the person who put this picture there, knows exactly what they're doing? They want to get your attention. It may not even be a real image. But hey, don't you want to know? Don't you want to see? The enemy has so many ways to deceive us, to lead us, tempt us, doesn't he? There are many times in my career that I had job opportunities in different places. I would have thought that would have been safer. I was a GS-14 job in Anchorage, Alaska. I'd be a rich man, no time at all. Another job in San Francisco. Several in Washington, D.C. Everybody wants to go to Washington, D.C. Once you're there, GS-14 is only the beginning. You climb the ladder from there. Every time I had those job opportunities, well, most of the time I'd ask Cheryl about it. Do you think God could use her as the voice of God? Yeah, well, I think so. But regardless, as I would pray and bring it to, in prayer to the Lord. That's number one. You don't just do something because it's there, but you bring it to the Lord. And I would listen, not just in the prayer closet, but I would listen to men's counsel. And I would seek the elders' advice. I wouldn't go to the elders and say, by the way, the Lord showed me. I would say, by the way, there's a job opportunity, and I don't know that it's the Lord or not. What do you think? Would you pray with me? How many times people come to the elders' meeting because the Lord told me and showed me that it's time for me to move? Well, thank you for telling us, but there's nothing we can do now. I guess you don't really want us to pray. We don't want to help you discern the will of God. It's pretty hard to send somebody out when they've already told you they're going. You send people out that are being sent by a plurality of persons. We pray for a blessing upon them, and God often and does bless his people. But there's a better way. That's what I'm saying. There's a better way. Being led by the Holy Spirit is an awesome responsibility. Judas didn't quite make it. You think he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in his life? I think he did. But I think he chose to hear other voices. It's our responsibility. And here's the really good part about this. When we hear the Good Shepherd, that knowing his voice becomes something that's a precious thing. More precious than gold and silver is the voice of God. More precious are those things. You know, as an old friend that I talked to just recently about my biopsy, it was a pathologist way up in the county north of Plattsburgh. What's the name of that county? I forgot. But he was way up there. He's right up in the Canadian border. I haven't heard his voice in 11 years. And I said, Marty, it's so good to hear your voice. You know why I said that? Because it was. He was a kind man. He was always genuine, never afraid of the truth. Sometimes bad or good. Doesn't matter to him. But he was always there to encourage us. Marty, it's so good to hear your voice. And when you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, it's a lot like that, only better. There's a comfort and safety about it that brings you in to the sheepfold. What a nice, safe place he has made for us. Let's not make it anything else, please. Lastly, John, Gospel of John chapter 14. He repeats this over and over. He says, if you love me. So he makes this a contest. If you love me. Ever hear people say, do you love me? Well, yeah, I love you. No, okay, good. But Jesus says, oh, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What are your commandments? This word. You'll keep that word. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Up until this time, he hadn't arrived, at least to the fullness of the baptism of the Spirit. Another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you for a season. Only for a time? No, forever. What is this? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive. That's where I get messed up, is I think that they have. They somehow know some truth. They cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells within you and will be in you. And for us, he is in you, period. Jesus says, I, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to sit at my Father's throne and leave you on earth to just duke it out with the enemy, but I will come to you in the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying in John 14, 15. What a wonderful thing. You know the power of grace? That's the power of grace. The power of God's word. And it's in you. Well, we sing the song, we're no longer a slave to fear. Maybe we should sing another one. Fear, you better start running. It doesn't matter what circumstances we face. If in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can say to the furnace keeper, doesn't matter if he comes or not. He, the Father, he, the one who looked like the Son of God. It doesn't matter if he comes or not and rescues us. We will never bow down to you. We will never become the hireling. We will never become the merchant. We will never fall back in the place of fear. And don't be afraid that you're gonna, because we're all gonna be weak and go through weak times. That's when we call upon the Holy Spirit. That's when we call upon each other to encourage. That's why we go to home groups. That's why we come to church. That's why you're listening to me for almost an hour. Here he goes again. I heard this chapter before. I don't need to hear it again. But you know what? I need to hear it again. Yeah. Amen. So thank you, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing you have given to us in the Holy Spirit. Not just a guidance for guidance sake, but that knowing is a wonderful thing. I don't know how to describe it. How can you describe wonderful? Awesome. Incredibly beautiful. Wondrous. Is there a superlative that I can say, Lord, to bring this to our mind? But in knowing you, it has become such a blessing that it doesn't matter how dark the darkness is that we face. Nope, it doesn't matter. Because the brightness of your Holy Spirit within us, the light, which is the light of men, it dwells within us. You have given us life like we have never known before. And I pray, Lord, that you would sharpen our wits, that we would begin to discern more correctly the will of the Lord through the voice of God, however it presents itself in our prayers, in our songs, and however you want to do it. I pray, Lord God, that our weaknesses would not define us, but just give us an opportunity to bring forth your strength in every circumstance that we face. And we bring forth these SWAT teams and prayer teams together, Lord, that we would know what it is to have victory in the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.